Stay tuned after the show for a message from Morgan Stanley.
Good Friday morning. I'm Jake Sherman, and welcome to your Political Playbook audio briefing.
And I'm Anna Palmer. The attack on September 11th happened 19 years ago today. 9 years ago, Alex Burns and Maggie Haberman wrote for Politico that both Republicans and Democrats had mastered the art of politicizing the terrorist attacks. The presence of 9/11 in politics is as profuse as ever, they reported. This got us thinking. Terrorism has been almost an afterthought in this campaign. The president mentioned it last night, but it rarely comes up on the trail. It's a reminder that the 9/11 attacks and the political moment they spawned are a fading memory for many Americans. The United States has lost 64 times more people to COVID-19 so far this year than the country did in the 9/11 attacks.
Garrett Graff has two interesting pieces this morning, one in The Atlantic, The Grief Americans No Longer Share, and another piece in Politico magazine, The Children of 9/11 Are About to Vote. We got a sneak peek of the text message House Republicans will receive today. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy will send the text to GOP lawmakers announcing that Republicans will unveil the election season agenda in a closed party meeting Monday, followed by a public event Tuesday.
The plan will include concrete objectives and metrics, according to the excerpt, to restore our way of life by defeating the virus, rebuilding the greatest economy in history by getting America back to work, and renewing the American dream by ensuring every child can attend an excellent school, among other things. And here's how Michigan's largest newspaper covered Trump's visit last night. The Detroit Free Press headline reads, "Trump makes wild claims about revitalizing auto industry at Michigan rally."
Heather Cagle and Sarah Ferris report that moderate House Democrats are increasingly alarmed about the stalled COVID-19 relief talks. A series of stories out about raging wildfires in the West. The AP is reporting 500,000 are fleeing in Oregon, while the New York Times has a look at the climate reckoning happening in fire-stricken California. The San Francisco Chronicle has a piece on the formation of clouds described as fire-breathing dragon clouds, the biggest in U.S. history.
Amy Walter at the Cook Political Report has moved Florida and Nevada away from Democrats in their electoral college projection. Florida from lean Dem to toss up, and Nevada from likely Dem to lean Dem. The Post has a piece on Republicans worrying as the Trump campaign pulls back on TV ads, and Alex Isenstadt is up with a piece on how Dems have built a big edge in early voting. Our colleague Nolan D. McCaskill also has a look at how former felons have the potential to swing close 2020 races.
Nancy Cook, Meredith McGraw, and Adam Kankren have a look at what Trump knew and when did he know it inside his February 7th admission. Speaking of his interview with Bob Woodward, here's what's on tap for the president's Friday. The president and First Lady Melania Trump will leave the White House at 7:30 a.m. en route to Johnstown, Pennsylvania. They'll arrive at 8:50 and travel to Shanksville and arrive at the Flight 93 National Memorial at 9:30. They'll participate in a 9/11 anniversary observance at 9:45. Afterwards, they will depart and return to D.C. The president later will present the Medal of Honor to Sergeant Major Thomas Paine in the East Room at 3 p.m.
On the trail, Joe Biden is going to New York and Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Kamala Harris and her husband, Doug Emhoff, will travel to Fairfax, Virginia, where she will deliver remarks at a September 11th remembrance ceremony. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.
Morgan Stanley is committed to giving back and to fostering meaningful dialogue among people and communities. See how Morgan Stanley, through demonstrating its core values, is giving back to the communities where we live and work at morganstanley.com.